Once for tomorrow, crimson caves, the slaves we become possess, in pasty passionate reverence, cleavage bodice, actors, spectators with heroes of punished visions upon digital seas and overwhelming arrogance. Another for today, blinded on digital waves of repression, driftwood visions unearthing our tiny box that had been tossed from the wooden ship, lockets of memories lost with ghosts of tyranny. I'm going away to become dust, the seeds of the generation with signs that rust and salted wind becoming a living sin as all the tin soldiers are lined up, smitten, smug, with blood on their face. They are massing along the borders, giant armies of the east, and the czars are gripped with horror while losing their holy need, and the walls are getting higher to isolate our thoughtless graves, taking the land of our God while they still parade, stomping boots upon mud puddle winter, carrying eager rifles through wilderness, teeming hollow emptiness, burning the pale forest until flames of blinded light devour and decline in backyard gardens filled with ebony smoke, torn pictures charred with dreams fade, metamorphed bodies suspended on hillsides, staring from the shore, stabbing the eyes, death billows into widening skies.
And we are Soul Asylum, and you're delving in a moment with All Above. Hello, people. It's been a long, 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 long time. Hi, there AP. Hello, Azama.
Hello, Cam. Hello, Cam. Hello, it's great to have you with us. We miss you guys.
Yeah, it's been a while, and I miss all of you guys.
Yeah, we miss you being with us in with your voice, but you're always with us with your spirit and poetry.
I appreciate that, and I'm with you guys too, and I've been listening to the podcast. You know, we have some wonderful poetry coming up. We didn't get to all of it for our last contest, Nothing for Nobodies, and we have a lot of poetry, a lot of abstract poetry for the Save the Poetry group, which is another group, abstract group that we started for those abstract poets out there. And for us, too, Soul Asylum. And I hope everybody's doing all right, aside from the fact that we have, you know, a war on the borders of Europe at the moment, you know, which everybody's trying to fight for democracy at the moment, you know, because that's what it is, people. That's what it is. It's a fight for democracy, okay? I mean, all right, you know, the guy in the high office over there on the east loves his USSR, you know, back to the USSR, right? So, I mean, but we have democracy, people. Keep it like that, right? What do you think about that?
It's sad.
Well,
I really don't understand what's going on, and I think it's crazy. You know, there is a different point of view to this. It's why did this happen? Why is it happening? I don't understand. I think, you know, that they were cornered, and they knew, you know, just provoking such war was unnecessary because they knew that this is going to happen if they provoke, you know, who. And so I don't understand why the provocation when they know that this is going to happen. And I think that Europe is going to pay high price for this. Why? I don't understand, Cal. I'm being honest with you.
To be honest, you know, I don't think Europe is going to. I think right now Ukraine is going to pay the high price. And, of course, they're going to try to get back their USSR. You know, this is the whole point. I really got the feeling that the man in the high office out there in the east, you know, that guy, he really wants his USSR back, okay? And if you go through the history, you know, I mean, to have democracy, a good democracy on his borders, well, he can't stand that, you know what I mean? And his supporters can't, you know, stand that either.
But this is national security for them. This is their national security. Whatever you think or I think about democracy, I don't believe there is any more real democracy in the world, maybe in Europe, but certainly not in America. I don't believe in the democracy in America anymore. I don't believe that there is democracy in the Arab world. Of course, they're all, you know, what they say, you know, they're really tyrants.
I really agree with you to a point now. But the thing is what we do have is the ability to be able to have the freedom to buy things that we want, to be able to live the life that we want, you know, and to be able to have that freedom of religion that you would like, you know. Well, no one's perfect, you know. No one's perfect, especially the U.S.
Yeah, but you know, the superpowers are backing up all the oppressive regimes, especially in our region. I know this has nothing to do, but we're talking about democracy now. How come all the big democracies in the world are standing by the obsessive regimes and the tyrants of the Middle East, for example? You know what I mean?
I got a different opinion there, Azama. I feel that, you know, at least you have the freedom other countries. I'm not saying that Trump, he has that freedom to do what he had to do too, which I don't think, you know, I don't agree. And I think he's sort of like another tyrant, you know, but at the same time, you know, that the people have the freedom to vote him in, you know.
Yes, I know that. I'm not saying that there is no democracy in America, but the democracy is. Yes, Cal. I'm listening.
What I'm trying to say is that the people chose this in Ukraine. In the Ukraine, they chose to be able to have that sort of democracy on their in their land, and they will find out. Once Russia takes over, which they will, okay? Maybe it'll take a little bit of time because there may be some more pockets in there that want to keep their freedom. But in time, they'll be just as oppressed as Russia is now, you know, with their... And they will be economically depressed. It's just like Russia is. Who wants that? Do you think Ukraine wants that? Do you think Ukraine really wants that kind of oppression?
Well, they knew that they're going to get into this. I don't agree what they did, really. They put themselves in this position, and the issue is more complicated than only a matter of the democracy. East Europe, after it separated from Russia, from the Soviet Union, they were allowed their, self-governing. But actually, because I have ties to people in Eastern Europe, there is so much corruption, unbelievable corruption. You won't believe it. But democracy takes time to be established. The problem is that the issue is so complicated. And, it's for me, it's crazy, it's unreasonable that I think this could have been avoided with some, sense, because everyone knew that this is going to happen if Ukraine joins the NATO. This is the point. It's not about democracy. It's about, it's about security. This is the borders of Russia. And it's for them a threat, because NATO was formed just against the Soviet Union. So naturally, if they tell them we're going to join NATO, this is my point. I didn't want to talk about this issue, but this is my point, and I'm going to say it. As they told them we're going to join NATO, this is a security threat to them. So what were they expecting? I'm not with this invasion, but I'm just saying this could have been avoided, because they knew if they say this and are supported by the rest of Europe and America, that this is going to happen, because they weren't going to just sit there and let NATO be on their borders. See what I mean? There is a problem here, which I don't understand.
You don't think Russia is part of NATO?
No, Russia is not part of NATO. NATO was formed against Russia.
I don't know. Well, AP, what's your opinion?
Well, look, I have to say, Cal, that I think this has been something which has been building for a number of years. And
yes,
if you look at what's happened over the past 15 to 20 years, I think it's something like 15 nations have joined NATO. And if you go down the board, it's a considerable number of countries. And we then had the Ukraine talking about doing that, and then the Ukraine held joint military exercises with the US and also started to buy some military equipment off the West. And I think that was viewed, you know, very, very, very seriously by the people in Russia, because they sort of view Ukraine as being part of their, you know, piece of heritage and shared heritage. And I think they took a view that you know, this whole thing could go so far, but it could only go, you know, so far before they needed to make a stand and say to the people in the West that this was not going to be something that they were going to stand for. Now, you know, how you do that is another question, Cal. You know, whether you move 170,000 troops around a country and debate it, make that point, you know, is an issue. And I do too, because whatever else has happened, there's 44 million people in the Ukraine, and there's probably 43,999,500 of them who've had absolutely nothing to do with getting their country to where it is at the minute. They just happen to be citizens of that country, and now, you know, they're facing, you know, just terrible circumstances, because, you know, nobody ever wants to be caught in a zone, and that's where so many people, children, women, men, old people, young people. And to get to that point, something's gone very wrong. But, you know, I think like all of these things, Cal, I mean, you can point the finger in one direction, and that's really easy, but I think always with the world of international relations and diplomacy, there's always multiple stories and shades of grey, and I think that there's certainly a history of that here. But, you know, whichever way you look at it, you know, you can't defend what's going on in the Ukraine at the minute. It's a horrible bloody mess, and thousands of people are getting killed, many of those who have absolutely nothing to do with what this issue has been.
Yeah, and it's a threat to the whole Europe. I said, you know, if this really goes very bad, it could turn to a World War III. This is crazy. It shouldn't have happened.
It could.
To start with. So, yeah. So,
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a matter only. And Ukraine is being used. It's a superpower struggle. And Ukraine is the victim. actually. They are the victims. Yeah. The whole country is a victim. But the issue is so complicated, Cal, but it could have been avoided. This I just don't understand. They knew that this is going to happen, but they kept pushing for it.
Yeah, but the Slavic countries that are around them, like the Slavic countries that are around them, like Lithuania, and also the old USSR, they want to be their own sovereign nation, just like East Germany. They want.
But it's not as simple as that. It's not as simple as that because there is so much in stake for the other party. It's a matter of. A matter of national security. You can't just bring your enemy to your borders. They consider them enemies. It's not the Ukrainians. It's not the Ukrainians. If you go back and see why NATO was formed, you will understand why. Those people are taking it very seriously because this is for them a matter of life or death.
If you want to talk about history, 400 years ago, the Ukrainian people considered themselves to be Ukrainian, you know. So, I mean,
we don't discuss that Ukrainians are Ukrainians, but they have hundreds of years of heritage. Russia started in Ukraine. It was formed first in Ukraine. So it's a long heritage. And this is not the issue. This is part of the issue, of course. The issue is it's the borders. It's their borders. The issue is why was NATO formed? Why do they feel that NATO is a danger to them? And the issue for me is why did they make this happen? They knew this is going to happen. I mean, all the people, Europe, America, that encourage Ukraine to take this stand and to ask to join NATO, they knew that this is going to happen to Ukraine, no doubt. And they let it happen. This is what I don't understand. It's not that I'm with what's happening. It's why did they make it happen? They knew. They knew that there was no doubt that this is going to happen. So this is driving me out of my mind. You knew, guys. Mm-hmm. Why did you push for this? You know? So it's a big issue, actually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I wasn't intending to speak about this, but you brought it.
I'd summarize this by saying that where we have got to is absolutely horrible, and
exactly.
However you want to look at it, been a gross failure of leadership in terms of the people and the country involved, right? And we can take out that blame out afterwards, but the truth of the matter is, in getting to where we've got to now, there are no winners. There are only people.
Of course.
There are only people dead. And that's
exactly.
Horrible, you know.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly. And yes, Ed.
There is, and so for me, I just see, as I said, however you want to sort it out afterwards, a failure of leadership. And the best thing that can happen right now is for the countries involved to get a ceasefire as soon as practically possible.
Yes.
You know, that is what needs to happen.
Yes.
My understanding is that there's some underway, and that actually might occur. But that's not unreasonable to think that might happen. And I hope that it does happen as soon as possible.
You know, AP, the last treaty, Oslo Treaty with Russia about 8 years ago, it was all they wanted is an assurance that Ukraine will not join the NATO. And they were given the assurance, but now it was violated. So all what they're asking now is an assurance, another assurance that Ukraine won't join the NATO. Ukraine could have been saved from all this, but it's pushed to its limits. So I'm so unhappy with what's happening in Ukraine, and it could have been avoided. But Ukraine is like as if it has, you know, it doesn't really have its anatomy. It doesn't really have its say in this. It's, you know what? I'll just tell you an example, Cal. When the United States invaded Iraq with, you know, to help them become a democratic country, what happened? What happened, Cal? Iraq is destroyed forever. It's been over 20 years. And it's becoming like a proxy war, people fighting after the Americans left. They left it torn out, and sects fighting each other, and a lot of weapons, and God knows what's happening. So where is democracy? Were they able? They came with their armies to help the Iraqi people to have a democracy. Was it successful in Iraq? Was it successful in Afghanistan? No. On the contrary, the fundamentalists who are now in charge, imagine, instead of getting rid of a tyrant, which I believe Saddam Hussein was a tyrant, instead of getting rid of a tyrant, they brought the fundamentalists worse. So you see what I mean? This is an example. You could have, you know, my husband used to tell me, all our good intentions are paved, you know, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. So it didn't work in the Middle East. On the contrary, it's worse. So you see it?
I think it was working in Ukraine. But the thing, but that's not the point. You're right. NATO was a threat to Russia, but they did sign treaties for partnership and peace.
Yes, and they violated it. They violated it.
No, it was not violated. And they have it was not violated. No.
Yes, by trying to bring in one of the important issues in the treaty is that Ukraine never joins NATO. But now they're pressing that Ukraine joins NATO. So they violated it. What were they expecting? What they knew that this is going to happen. This is driving me crazy. They knew that this is going to happen. So I think they just threw Ukraine to the wolves.
And pray for Ukraine and those people.
Yes, of course.
But they are not.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yes. Sure.
Now I know that the East wants to talk to Ukraine. This is a good step forward. Let's hope that good constructive talk comes out of this, and that that an obliteration of Ukraine can.
Yeah, and let's hope that this doesn't get worse, because if it gets worse,
correct,
this is going to involve the whole world, Europe, America, everyone. Anyway, Cal, it's great to have you with us. Yes, AB? Yeah.
I mean,
it's great to have you with us.
We all know. That whatever else happens, that if there is a wide-scale war, nobody wins. No, it doesn't matter who starts.
Nobody
it doesn't
wins.
Matter where
exactly.
It, nobody wins.
Yeah.
Wide-scale war.
Exactly.
And the issue here is that it was fundamentally clear for weeks and months building to this situation. It didn't just happen overnight.
Exactly.
It happened over weeks and months. Right?
Yes.
And
years.
And it's just simply a fundamental lack of leadership, and it's on both sides.
Exactly.
A fundamental lack of leadership that this was allowed to occur. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a simple
Exactly.
Fact.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what's this is driving me out of my mind. What? How? And why? You knew this is going to happen. Why you pushed to, for this to happen. It's for nobody's benefit, no one's benefit. And it could turn to be something really horrible, horrific. And World Right. War III is not like World War II, because all these mass destruction weapons and nuclear weapons, and so people, they're really crazy. This is really crazy. And it's going to affect the whole world. You know, to start with, Cal, Egypt imports the wheat from Ukraine and Russia.
Yep.
And wheat is the basic for a loaf of bread for the Egyptians. And 40% of the Egyptians are, poor people, and really poor people, under the line of poverty. And all they can afford is a loaf of bread to feed their child. And this won't be even available for 40% of Egyptian, a loaf of bread. If we cannot get the wheat we export from, we import from Russia and Ukraine. And this is just Egypt and the Middle East. This is
the worst. What I hope is that Russia gets their freedom, Ukraine gets their freedom, and the people of Russia also get their freedom.
Yes, because, and I hope that the superpowers stop playing with the fate of the world.
Yes.
You know, they're playing with the fate of the world, the whole world.
I hope that they think about letting their government be what the government want to be, but the people are free, regardless of what the government is. If the government is socialist, if the government is communist,
exactly.
The people themselves are free.
But this is not a fact. There is no freedom.
We have the freedom of our expression in poetry. You know?
Yes. Let's get back to poetry. Our sanctuary. Our sanctuary. Our sanctuary. Our sanctuary. I can see. Yeah, this is what brought all this out. they are massing along the borders. Giant armies of the East.
Aren't you guys glad that I'm back? Huh?
Yes, we are. Yes. We are very glad. We miss you a lot. And, you know, we were really, really upset that you weren't with us last time, because it was your contest and your reading list. And I honestly, me and AP and Murphy, we enjoyed it so much. And you know what, Cal? I shared it with my daughter, you know, Abby. She's a writer, director, and a poet. And AP, she loved it. And I was inspired by this. She loved it. And, you know, she loves poetry, you know, and she loved the show. And she thought it was one of our best. And it gave me an idea that we usually pick, you know, different poetry with different forms. And this was the first time that we introduced a certain form of poetry. And it was so successful and enlightening. And even for us as poets, like, you know, you're just digging deeper into a form of poetry, not just reading the poem and, you know, enjoying the poetry itself. No, but the form and where it comes from and how it's written and why. And so I thought that we can make future episodes about different forms of poetry, because this was really beautiful and very enlightening and informative and enjoyable and everything. So maybe next time we can make a show about free verse, another time about sonnets, and it's going to be up to you, AP, because, you know, form poetry and things like that. What do you think of this idea, guys?
I think it's a great idea, Summer. I think the thing that I found was really interesting about the poems that that Cal chose was that even though they were abstract, they had so much that we could talk about the human condition.
Exactly.
And it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Poem at what it had different things that it was reflecting upon on being human. And that was really interesting because I wasn't expecting that at all.
Me too. Me too. For us as poets, it was really a beautiful experience as well, because we know when you hear about abstract poetry, though we love it and we enjoy it, but not always. But we don't understand exactly where it's coming from. And when we concentrated on it, and it just became more clear to us, and we even enjoyed it more. And I'm sure our listeners, you know, we have listeners from all over the world. And like usually now it's about 4,000 listeners, which, you know, my daughter, when I told her we have about 4,000 listeners, she said, Mom, you can have a revolution. So, yes. So you can start a revolution, she said. Anyway, so we have to be really careful because we owe it to our listeners and we owe it to our fellow poets to give them the best we can. And, you know, so this is really important. It's not just us having good time, gathering together, reading poetry. It's much more than this. We owe it to our fellow poets who trust us with their poetry. We owe it to our listeners who listen to us from all over the world. And I think last week's show was great. And it was really, we thank you for that. It was Cal's idea, Cal's contest. And you really made your point and introduced abstract poetry even to us, Cal. And though we have an idea about it, but we're not abstract writers like you. And you started also this group to introduce, you know, you are a man with convictions and you do whatever it takes to enlighten others with your beliefs, and which are all good. Cal, we're so happy to have you with us again today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, guys.
I always have to.
Yeah.
This is bringing us all together. We have listeners in Russia. We have listeners in Ukraine. And that's where the peace is going to start, is with the poetry people. It's going to be with the poetry. And the people, both of all of them, all of us, this is our together, you know. So, that's
and let's pray that all this ends well, Carl. Let's pray that all this ends well. Because we are all going to be affected. The whole world is going to be affected. And like AP says, you know, I always say, wars are never won. Exactly what you're saying. This is a sentence, like for me, I keep saying it. Wars, no wars are ever won. It's only destruction, misery, tragedy, loss of life, loss of homes, loss of future. So, really, I hope all this ends well, Cal.
It will. It will. In God's sake, it will.
Yeah.
So people, keep strong, keep writing. People in Russia.
Yes.
Pray you keep on writing. And keep on keeping that freedom that you have within your heart. In your home. You know? Don't shy away from the depression. Shy away from this tyranny. Or, you know, extolling, you know, people that, you know, what you need to have in your heart is the freedom that you need. That's what you need in this world.
Yeah, exactly.
What we need.
Exactly. Safety and freedom and peace and coexistence and the good neighborhoods and whatever. All the good things.
Yeah.
We can continue with our reading list, Carl?
Yes.
Yes. I put Colab a poem up there.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Did you guys get the message from my last poem, by the way? I just want to know if you guys the intro.
Well, the poem you read, your intro, you mean, this is Tomorrow's Hope to Endure. This is what brought all this discussion up. It was brilliant. I even read this line. They are messing along the borders. exactly. Yeah, I saw, because you're in Europe, of course, and you're closer to the situation to us. And I know that Germany specifically depends on the gas lines from Russia. So it's going to be seriously affected.
We depend on each other.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this we are all going to be affected. For you, it's the gas. For us, it's the bread. I'm in Egypt. I'm in Africa. I'm in the Middle East. And I'm going to get affected right now. Right now. Before anything worse happens. Right now. And the same with you and the same with everyone. And so let's pray for peace. Let's pray for things not to deteriorate. Let's pray for everyone, and hopefully things won't go further, hopefully, with some common sense and, like AP said, sensible leadership, sensible leadership.
No politics.
Yeah.
Get rid of the politics, people.
This is not politics. This is current situation. This is a disaster. The whole world is on the edge of, anyway, danger. Anyway, Cal, so let's go back to beautiful abstract poetry and to collapse poem.
Yes.
We have a SoundCloud. We have a SoundCloud AP. And collab, collab one and HM. In Cal's contest, Nothing for Nobodies, and her poem is called Is That All There Is? And I asked her, there was no SoundCloud, but I asked her to do one for us, and she did. So let's share it together.
Let me roll down to that. I'll be one tick. Is that all there is? And here it comes now, for Summer. Okay.
Is That All There Is? By Colab. A Rorschach blot, sepia's tentacles spread, reaching towards myriad directions, each one offering equal possibilities. Though, here's the hitch, there's only one choice, at the starting point that leads to another starting block, requiring another decision, on and on. A highway byway of paths is traced in our neurons. At every intersection, or convergence, we think it's a question of death or life, as the gods watch on, or that's what we think. But here and below, while we trace our steps, nose to the ground, dragging our legs, convinced Arbeit macht frei, that good will prevail over evil, believing in life after death, but at the end of the road, at the end of our ropes, what if we find in its stead ourselves nailed to the cross of our own construction, wriggling out of our own damnation, caught in a web of our own quid pro quos, and at the end of the tunnel, what if there's nothing but darkness that awaits us, not the 70 virgins nor the Garden of Eden, but some form of heaven where the oblivious void sucks us up back into a whirlpool of emptiness, black and in its insignificance. Yet every inch along the way to that final destination, never should we neglect to be thankful of everything we had and underwent. The trials and tribulations, the dark chapters of our despair, for had we not gone there, we wouldn't be where we are at, returning to the point of origin, back to square one, at the source of the mysterious intention. And a poem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, really.
I love this. It goes with our subject, doesn't it?
Exactly. Like it's just written for us.
Whoops. Now, is that you, Osama? Because I can't hear that. That's gone all splintered on us.
yeah, there was a little bit of a...
Hello, Osama. Osama, if you can hear this, your line has cracked up on us, unfortunately. Can you call back into the studio? Because we can't hear you all of a sudden. Yeah, it's cracked up badly, Osama. That line is gone. Osama, can we get you to call back in, please?
Anyway,
Sorry about that, Cal. Just all of a sudden, Osama's line got cut up into bits and pieces, and I don't know why.
She'll call back in.
She's still online.
I'll comment.
Yeah, no, please comment on it. I'm just going to... drop the line and so that she has to call back in.
What's really significant?
Okay, we're in your hands, Cal. What did you want to say about Calop's collapse bomb?
That we recognize our darkness. And on this eve of our darkness, we have to recognize our history as well. That this oppression that we, and suppression that we have on others, you know, comes back to creep on us. But if you live your life and our life in the most simple and ways that we can to get back to our, rather than trying to reach for a Garden of Eden, but to just live your own life in the most simplistic and loving way to give and to be an example of that life, you know. And with
now, I've just got Osama back again. Yeah. Osama, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened either.
No,
okay.
All of a sudden you started talking and it just started shattering into 25 bits, and I don't know why.
Exactly, and I couldn't hear you as well, so I just closed the line, changed the Wi-Fi and called back. Was it only me or it was the whole show? It was you too?
No, it was only your line, Osama.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only your line.
Everything
else was fine. So Cal has actually gone and commented on the collab poem. So, and I think you were trying to comment on the collab poem, except we couldn't actually hear you. So did you want to do that now?
No, I just want, I was listening to Cal, but I couldn't hear his voice, so things happened anyway. So did Cal comment on the poem?
Yes.
Can you briefly tell me what you said to Cal? Because I wanted to know your opinion.
That we've lived darkly in our history, in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a dark chapter, and maybe we're thinking that we, you know, in our afterlife, that there may be something, and maybe there's nothing.
Yes.
Who knows? You know, we don't
know.
We only have this hope. But as long as you live your life in the freedom, this is what I think that she's talking about, to live your life in the best way that you can this life.
Yes.
This is the only thing, the life that you can show your example of. And this is so important, you know, for those people all over the world to have that freedom and to have that freedom in your heart to show that example of love in your heart as well. And this is so important. And that is also the message that Collab has given here, that that, you know, in each of these trials and tribulations and these dark chapters is there.
Yeah.
That we are who we are. And we need to always go back to our origin, our origin of innocence. We need to hold on to that.
Yeah, we go to the source, to our origin, to the source of the mysterious intention. Well, yes, I agree. I fully agree with you. Though I really believe that there is an afterlife, but this afterlife, this life is part of this afterlife. It's not separated. This is what I believe. It's a continuation because we exist. We are really here. So there must have been a source for our presence and a reason for our presence. You know, I don't believe that this is all like a coincidence. It's so perfect. The universe is so perfect. We are perfect. We are created in a perfect form. So I believe that this is a phase in our existence. You know, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm always a realistic person. So I believe that life is very important and should be taken seriously. And we should do our best and even enjoy being alive and celebrate being alive and try to understand the reason why we are alive. We have inside of us the good and the evil, actually. Paradise and hell, they're all inside us. Everything is inside us. And it depends on what we choose and how we choose to live our lives. And it's our duty to choose to be good. It's our duty to choose to be kind. It's our duty to choose. Even, you know, people who can understand that trying to make life good for themselves and for others, make them happy. People who don't have an aim in life or a vision of why they are here, they are miserable and they can commit suicide and they can just don't want to live anymore. So life is like a test. Not only on a spiritual level, it's also on mental and physical and emotional and on every level. So life in this form is very important and it's very fulfilling if you choose, you make the right choices. And Collab is an excellent writer, and she's an intellectual. And I like the way she's also a thinker, and I like the way she discusses things, or she expresses things, or she brings out her thoughts, her ideas, and she's a very good writer. And I like when here she's referring to something which is meaningful to me. I'm just going to try it. Yes, like when she's saying, not the 70 virgins, nor the Garden of Eden, but some form of heaven. Do you know what she's referring to, the 70 virgins? You know, Cal? AP?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Okay, in Islam, the faithful are... I promised paradise and 70 beautiful virgins as wives, all right? Beside their, if they make it to paradise, they call them Horeya, Horiyet, you know, they're created only for this faithful man who was pious, who believed in God, who was a good person, and that like there will be 70 beautiful virgins for him beside his wife if she's with him in paradise. She might not be anyway. So yeah, she's referring to this. And so it's interesting because not everyone knows things like that. And the Garden of Eden, of course, we all know it. And she still believes in, she's thinking, we all have our thoughts. Is there really paradise? I believe there is. I believe that this life is only a phase and that the soul is eternal because it's made of eternal light. And there is a source and we come from this source. So I believe in all this anyway. So it's interesting how she's, thinking about the afterlife and if there is no afterlife. But I think here she is more positive that there is an afterlife because she ends her poem with at the source, returning to the point of origin, back to square one, at the source of the mysterious intention. So I believe she is a believer in the afterlife, whatever, but she doesn't know exactly what form of afterlife. And for me as a Muslim, we have an idea about the form of the afterlife, and it's beautiful, and hopefully we'll make it. But anyway, I believe that we are all, you know, created from the same source. And as long as we exist here, there must have been a source and there must be a reason. And we should, as Cal said, make the best of it. Make peace, not war. Make love, not hate. So, yeah, AP, would you like to comment?
Well, look, I would. And if you think about it, because all of the heavy elements that are in our bodies have been formed in the powers of stars years away. It is incredibly unlikely that we actually end up here in the form that we're in. And because there's just so much stuff that's needed to happen in order for that to go on, Osama. So it's actually
exactly.
quite brilliant that we actually have people here in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I have to turn at points like this to those great seers, Monty Python, and the Monty Python song, the Galaxy Song. And the last verse goes something like this. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth, and pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, because there's bugger all down here on Earth. In common.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't believe that this is only coincidence. It's like, you know, people, they speak about miracles. I believe that our own life is a miracle. Our own existence is the miracle. The sky is a miracle. The galaxies is a miracle. Earth is a miracle. Look. Yeah, so these are all miracles, and these are all like proof of there is.
We have another caller.
There is a source.
Is a miracle.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I only have 9 minutes left. I have 9 minutes left. I'm at work. I can't stay too long.
You've got 9 minutes?
Okay, but we were speaking about miracles, Salwa, and it's a miracle that you called. So we'll go to your poem.
Did you want to do your poem live, Salwa, or did you want to
SoundCloud,
play the SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, because there is a background here. So
I don't know if we have it. I don't know if we have it downloaded.
If not, then I'll go ahead and read it.
We have it? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So aujourd'hui, it's called Today, my pet. Aujourd'hui.
Okay. I can't remember.
You missed
it. I don't remember.
Yeah, bear with me. I'll be too ticked. Is it under au jour, Cal, or is it under the English?
It's not. I can't call. I don't see it on the board. Is it on the board?
No.
Yes, it is on the it's on the reading list. The last poem on the reading list.
Okay.
I don't see it.
I've got it up on the board. I've got it up on the board.
Okay.
Yeah, no, bear with me. I've got it up on the board. So
okay.
It's up on the board now. And if I can have just 20 seconds to see if I can find it.
Sure.
In the board. I've got it. Here we go. Here's the SoundCloud now.
I love
Thank you.
Today, my pen. Aujourd'hui, ma plume. Yesterday, I was young. My eyes thought to hurt single star to star. I love you. And my modest heart did not want to stop beating. I believed in the time of flowers that was in the air. My innocent eyes were wrong. Like a misty cloud who dried up my azure sky from its color. Yet I was able to pick my sensitivity from the echo of my pains, moaning in my soul, no more tears to shed. My victimized mind and body did not know where to flee. My heart unintentionally froze. Day after day, winter after winter, storm after storm. Today, my pen searching to tremble my heart on paper the thousand words. Hier, j'étais jeune. Mes yeux croyaient entendre chanter une étoile, je t'aime. Mon cœur modeste ne voulait arrêter de battre. Il croyait autant de fleurs qui valsent dans l'air. Mes yeux innocents avaient tort. Tu es comme un nuage brume qui a séché mon ciel. De sa couleur azur, pourtant j'ai pu cueillir ma sensibilité de l'écho de mes douleurs qui gémissaient dans mon âme. Plus de larmes à verser, mon corps et mon esprit victimisaient, ne savaient plus offrir. Mon cœur sans le vouloir s'est glacé. Jour après jour, hiver après hiver, tempête après tempête, aujourd'hui ma plume cherche à frémir mon cœur sur des papiers avec mille mots indifférents.
Wow, ça va. Yeah, you know, this is the saddest poem you ever wrote. Carl, I leave you to comment.
Yeah, you're not feeling like this, okay, first of all. And, you know, I hope that you have some solace in your heart, you know, because there's always that light inside of your body, inside of your soul, that is always going to light and be lit brightly. And I hope you're not going through anything sad, you know, right now.
Life goes on. But thank you. And I really have, I hate to be rude, but I really have three minutes and then I have to run. Just let you know, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling, Salwa. Thank you for calling. And the poem is really, really impressive. And I think it's one of your best because it's so true, so deep. And, it is sad, but I know that you're a survivor and that love will always be your target in life, and you can, your heart, you know, holds so much love to everyone, to the world, and I know you're the kind of person that nothing could stop you from loving. Salwa,
thank you so much.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. AP, you still have a minute?
Yes,
we do.
AP, would you like to comment?
Yeah, and I was just saying, Osama, it was a lovely poem, and it was very, very sad, but it was quite haunting in the French too. So, beautifully done.
Yeah,
thank you so much. And I hate to call and run, but because I'm at work.
But it's great. Thank you for calling. We love to have you with us even for a moment.
Thank you, Salwa. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
Bye, sweetheart.
Bye. No, this is her break. She's in work, at work, and this is her break, and so she just took the advantage to call us. Yes, Ken.
Let's sing that song, okay? All you gotta do is look on the bright side of life. Doo-doo.
Oh, you're gonna go for Monty Python?
The bright side of life. Doo-doo. Come on.
Da 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 I prefer singing in the rain. You know that.
I love that last scene. You know, where there's like hundreds of crosses with people singing on the cross. You know, it's like.
Yes.
Yeah. Every Easter, now Easter's coming up, and that's my tradition is to watch The Life of Brian on Easter Sunday.
Yes.
That's my tradition for me.
Okay. Yeah. You know, Cal, I'm so happy that you're with us. Really, Cal, we miss you so much. I'm so happy that you're with us. Just, you know, hearing your voice, enjoying you know, your company, and it makes a lot of difference for us, because when we're together, the three of us, this is really makes our show perfect, because, you know, this is how we started, and, you know, when one of us is missing, I think something is missing. So especially you, Cal, who's, you know, the one who created this show and the one who made it happen for us for the past 3 years. So it's great to have you with us.
The next poem is by Per. And hey, AP, could you read this? Because it is something that I think you'll love to read.
Which one? By Per. Yes. Okay. Vast Emptiness?
Yes.
Okay. It also won an HM in your contest. Nothing for Nobody.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will put that up on boards now, Cal. So this is Vast Emptiness by P-E-R, and it goes a little bit like this. Barren embodiment, restful slumber of the crickets, chirp in the silent wasteland of mindlessness, white room coloured in hollow charcoal stubs, violet clouds hover over the decaying skull of your past self. Flies chatter aimlessly, pickpocketing your will, whinging coal shattered to ashes in the misty moonlight flashlight of your eyes. Stickingly damp palms rest in the checkered tiles of your bathroom floor, leaking out, bleeding out the darkness of transcending words. The simple far side of mindless drone ties your noose, still grasping at the arid bathroom tiles. You think you're a martyr, speak now and forever hold your peace, which will be held against you in court. Hug your bones tighter as muscle contracts against cool Arctic breath. Shimmering tears spill into the wasteland. And you can't escape the empty past. End poem.
Wow. Really, well.
Part of the theme, you know, of emptiness and also mindlessness, you know, and this violence that ties us, you know, here into our emptiness. And I think he's also talking about a lot of the craziness that's going on, humanism as well, you know, that that we have to deal with in this world, and he's exposing that, you know, in a very, very beautiful abstract poem, which I think is just wonderful. But this emptiness is something that we have to deal with in this world, and so evident now and so real now, this emptiness. But inside of your heart, there's always that light. And this is something that we all share together. And if you could read, by the way, Tess, if you're out there, hello, Tess. And thank you so much for that message you gave us, that light that we have in common for all of us to share among our emptiness, which is so beautiful. And that statement that Tess put onto the board is so real, you know, especially when we share that one light together. It's so beautiful. Well, thank you for that, Pierre. So thank you for that.
Yeah. For me, this was you know, it just brought to my mind an experience I had. This stanza, a flashlight of your eyes, sickeningly damp palms rest in the checkered tiles of your bathroom floor, leaking out, bleeding out the darkness of transcending words. Simple farsight of mindless drones ties your nose, still grasping at the arid bathroom tiles. You know, I had once an experience, which was not a long time ago, and this was a very private experience, and I even didn't share it with my children, except later on I told my son. I was like in the bathroom and, you know, just washing my face and making wudu, you know, preparing for prayers, and suddenly I lost consciousness for no reason at all, and I felt, I just felt that my soul is hanging up, you know, in on top of my head. I didn't feel my body at all, and I just felt my soul, somewhere, you know, there hanging. And then I came back to consciousness, and then I found myself sitting on the floor, just sitting. I didn't, you know, stumble in anything. I didn't fall. Nothing. It just was like in a fraction of a second that I felt my soul hanging over my head, and I didn't feel my body at all. And when I came back to consciousness, it was me sitting on the floor in the bathroom. And I just didn't know what to make of it. But I thought this was a kind of rehearsal. You know, I was in that moment, in, you know, making wudu. I was really in a very, very good place spiritually. Just nothing on my mind except making wudu and going to prayer to meet God and to pray to God and to be in His presence. And this happened to me. So it was very weird, and I wasn't hurt and nothing. Just my soul hanged on top of my body. And like, I felt no pain, nothing happened, nothing drastic. But it made me even believe more in that death is the separation of the soul from the body, but it doesn't mean that we don't exist anymore, because we will exist, but in another form. You see what I mean? This was a very serious experience, and this stanza exactly, I don't know how, but it brought this experience to my mind as if he was there writing about it. So, yeah, this is the first time I shared this with anybody, guys. But it was not a bad experience, but it was a serious experience. And it just made me more sure of what I believe. Hey, P.
Yeah, look, it's a lovely poem. It's a lovely poem, Selma, because it makes us think about where we started, where we finished, and where we sit in between, and the last line is quite haunting, and you can't escape the empty past. It's really very haunting, I thought. The whole piece has that sort of sense of real attention to issues, and then of course it opens it up at the end. So I really liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, and for me it was very, very meaningful. It's just like we said also, still grasping at the arid bathroom tiles, you think you're a martyr. Speak now and forever hold your peace, which will be held against you in court. Yeah, this is also very meaningful. This poem, strangely, is so meaningful to me, and it just talks about a personal experience. I'm sure he didn't mean I don't know. Maybe he has a similar experience or something, because it's very close to what happened to me and my experience. Carl, would you like to comment on this, my experience?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for me, Osama, that I've always thought that there's something more than just what we're doing at the minute, and that, you know, we somehow are on a journey, and that we're learning things out of this life, and we've learnt things out of past lives, and we put them into fruition in a future life. I think there's something bigger than us, and I'm not sure what it is, but it completely aligns with what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Is Carl still with us, Carl? Hello? Carl is not with us anymore, AP?
I think he's dropped. Let's have a look. We have another caller back. Hello, 616. Carl, are you back with us?
Okay. What happened? We don't want to lose you.
I heard everything that you guys were saying, and that out of body experience happens quite often. It does happen in sort of a dream, but it's so real, you know, that you experience that, and it's useful. If you had an actual talk with your soul. Yeah. You were with
exactly.
Your soul.
Exactly.
Moment.
This is an out of body experience. Yes. Yeah. You know, Carl, I had an out of body experience a couple of times, sometimes in visions and sometimes a couple of times in real life. But this one was so significant because I could feel my soul. I could feel it. I was there, really there, so aware, you know, out of body, out of body. Yeah. You know, maybe when you're inside, pure enough inside, or a moment of clarity, a moment of purity, you can really experience the out-of-body experience.
Exactly. You know, and,
have you ever been there, Kel? Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, in vision.
Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, you know, it's all very, very strange, surreal, that you talk to spirit and spirit within yourself, not only your own spirit, you know, that talks to you, but you talk to other spirits that are around you. And this kind of experience and can also happen in visions where you can actually see something that will happen, or a deja vu experience that leads you to something that helps you in your future. So this has happened to me quite a few times. I think the strangest one that happened to me once was that I actually talked to John Lennon.
Wow. And what did he tell you?
he told me so much, you know, about, you know, what I was experiencing, you know, and I think, I mean, I could have swore it was John Lennon, you know, but you know, some of these, you know, kind of visions, and actually that vision and that talk that I had with him, that I thought it was him, led me to a more peaceful, existence for my future, my immediate future. And it was uncanny and unbelievable to have that kind of experience, you know. So, not that John Lennon is a saint,
Yeah, I know what you mean. But he's there. He's a spirit and he's there. Yeah. He's out there. That's interesting. This is one of my favorite topics, you know, the spiritual aspects and the out-of-body experiences. We never spoke about this before, Kel.
But these visions help you for your future, no matter what the spirit is. The spirit could be just a pure vision of your soul, you know, or a talk to other spirits or something like this, you know, and it's very prevalent in my culture, you know, in my indigenous culture.
I know, I know.
Have these visions.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love this topic very much, and this poem brought it up. So, yeah, that's interesting. Anyway, our next poem is also a SoundCloud, and it was also in Cal's contest. It's by Jenny Middleton, and she's from the UK, and she's an excellent writer and a wonderful person, and I really respect her and love her, and she's a good friend, and her poem is called Blink. And we have a SoundCloud, AP.
Okie doke. Well, let me just get the poem up on the board first, so we'll do that for everybody.
It's already there.
Oh, it's already there. You're right. Okay, thank you. And so I'm going to go to the studio and grab that poem in 2 ticks. So we are off and running. Now, here we go.
Blink. Eyelids live the London look. Smudged, cold, outlining vision, slick, pencil-drawn dusk. Fashion at a face. Photographed, sexy, snapping, eyes half shut. Smoky, glammed up. Bedhead hair, scrunched, moosed. Falling in spikes against his brow as he struts, piano thumped, guitar feathered songs, catwalk pout, winking, deconstruct all, lids silver bright with Friday's tucks, faux fur blinking rush from the radio, a dance.
That was interesting. Yeah, very interesting. And I would like to hear your opinion, Cal. But I just would like to point out that there is a picture attached to this poem. And I say it's for a young man who looks, you know, very funky with his hair, you know, and a kohl in his eyes, you know, makeup, dark makeup in his eyes, and full makeup, actually, and wearing a dark shirt, and I think he's a musician of some kind. So I would like to hear your comment, AP. Cal.
That's Robert Smith of The Cure.
Who?
Okay. Robert
okay.
Smith.
Okay, I don't know him. He's a musician?
He's the lead singer. Yeah, he's the lead singer of The Cure. And I actually went to one of the picture concerts. I think it lasted 2 or 3 days. I don't know.
Okay.
Because I was out of my mind at that concert. It was great. Cure is one of my favorite groups. And what she's talking about here is that whole scene, you know, that whole scene back then, you know, about him, you know, and his style and the way that... Mm-hmm. You know, he dressed up in the London look. You know, a little bit of history behind, you know, Jen, you know, she's a Londoner, and I'm sure that she's been part of that scene also, you know, that London scene, right, post, you know, the Sex Pistols, you know, and all that, you know, glam area, glam time of new wave and music, and it was a very interesting time, and very interesting time in fashion, and I think
okay.
It was very
okay. That was in the 80s, okay. So, what's the name of the band, Cal? What's the name of the band?
The Cure.
What?
The Cure.
The Cure.
The Cure.
The Cure.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Picure. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I thought he was some kind of pop singer or artist or something. I actually am not familiar with him because by the 80s I was back in Egypt, but I was familiar with the groups of the 60s when I was in England, and I even met some of them. I met Cliff Richard, guys. because, you know, yeah, when I heard, when I worked at the BBC, I had a music program. It was in the Arabic service, but it was called, yeah, I was like a DJ. It was called Western Listeners Request. So I was always in touch with the bands and the music and the latest pop music. And I used to be invited to a place like a big record company production called His Master's Voice, if you ever heard about it. And, you know, whenever they had new releases, they would invite me, and I met a couple of bands, and I met Cliff Richard, and you know, these the days of the Beatles, the Doors, and these great groups. I haven't met these, of course, but I met other different groups that were still, you know. Yes, so I was familiar with the pop movement in the 60s, but the 80s I was back in Egypt, and I was so busy raising my children and was not in touch very much. So this is interesting. It's it looks like a continuation to the movement of the flower power, but you know, they develop into punks, I think. Yeah.
Mm.
Yes.
It got there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yep.
Because he has this makeup and the hairstyle and the way he dresses. This is the punk style, I think.
Yeah, but if you listen to the music and the lyrics, there's a little bit more depth than the regular punk style.
Okay.
In art.
Yes.
Like in the Pink Floyds, like something like the Pink Floyds?
Something like, Robert Smith, really brought out some of really good lyrics within, you know, his music. And so if you read about it, it really shows some of the more important moments during that time, you know. So I think it's interesting if you just read lyrics. Maybe the music may not be your style.
I know, I'm into music, all styles. So just send me any of their YouTube links and the name of the band, because and you know what, Cal?
Yes.
All these bands and all this music is only a reflection of the times they are living in. The times and the feelings and the emotions and the trends and the art and the passion. It's it's not only about someone with a nice voice, or the lyrics themselves are an expression or a reflection. The lyrics, the music, the fashion, the way they dress, the way they handle themselves, everything. It's always a reflection of the times and they're living in. You know what I mean? This is art. This is art. Art is a reflection of the times people are living in the best form, in the form of poetry, in the form of music, in the form of lyrics, in the form of songs, in the form of fashion.
I'll read a lyric by The Cure, Robert Smith. It's called Another Day.
Okay.
The sun rises slowly on another day. Sky grows cold. Winter in watercolors, shades of gray. Something holds me. Holds me hypnotized. I stare at the window, waiting for the day to go. Winter and watercolors, shade of gray.
Wow.
So that's a lyric.
This is beautiful.
Which is beautiful. It's really beautiful. And, you know, if you listen to the lyrics of The Cure, it's not just a punk group. It's really some
beautiful. Very beautiful. I love it. really interesting. Please remember to send me the name of the band and any YouTube, you know, of any link to songs, and I'll find them.
I've put a YouTube link up onto the board, so if you go back after the show, you'll be able to click that and go through to the one of the songs.
Okay, that would be lovely. Thank you so much, AP. This is very interesting. Okay, we have... Thank you, Jenny. This was really beautiful, and I'm happy to be introduced to a new band from the 80s. I'm a girl from the 60s, so this is interesting for me. And our next poem, I really love it. It's by Sapphire Rose, and it's also it's called Humanity. And we also have a SoundCloud, and it's also from Cal's contest. Cal, we want a new contest about free verse. How about that?
We'll do that. Yes, we'll do that.
Okay.
So,
you know, I don't know if you heard, but okay, I don't know if you heard, but I was telling AP that our last show was so successful because it was specifically about abstract poetry, and we all enjoyed it. And maybe we could, you know, inspire me to make more episodes about different forms of poetry. Because we always share poetry from, you know, all styles. But when we concentrated on the abstract, it was truly interesting and intense and informative. And it was a great experience we all enjoyed as poets and listeners. So hopefully we can do that with free verse, different kinds of different forms of poetry, because all forms of poetry is beautiful. And we through the years, we broadcasted so many poems from different styles, but we always concentrated on the poet and on the poetry. So it's interesting to concentrate on the forms for a change. How about that, Cam?
Good.
Okay.
Hey, AP, did you comment on this here? Did you comment on poem by Jenny?
Jenny's
poem. Did you comment on?
Yeah, Osama did. Yes.
No, did you comment?
Oh no. I'll say a few words now, and that is that. There was that real time where there was a series of British bands, and the King was one of them. What actually they did was they didn't only sing and pen great lyrics, but they actually set the scene for the world in terms of what you should look like, what you should do, how you should be.
Exactly.
There was a series of bands, one after the other. The Cure was one of them, and they had a distinctive look and sound and set of lyrics. And that I think was what very well was that fleeting moment when that was everything about not just music,
yes,
fashion as well.
You know, APN, especially when you're young, you get, because they reflect your pulse. Or not only setting the trend, but they reflect you, your youth, your time. This is what I've been saying. And for me, it was the Beatles, the Doors, the Pink Floyds. These are part of who I am. Every trend, and it reflects a generation, and it also forms the generation of how they should look like, how they should dress, but it's also a reflection of who they are. It's the pulse of this generation, actually. Yeah, so this was truly interesting. So I know now Jenny was a teenager in the 80s.
There you go.
Okay, so...
Our
next poem, this is, Cal, this one really, really, really touches me very much, and it's so relevant to what's going on now. So you have a SoundCloud, Humanity by
yes.
Sapphire Rose.
Here we go.
Humanity by Sapphire Rose. Encounters deadly through generations. What is the cost of freedom? We as humankind need to own up to the mistakes of our making. If we as a unified species are to feel whole, knowledge is power, ignorance is sin. Why act truculent in the face of percipients? Lives merely wasted by boorish fools. It is as pointless as bringing a knife to a gunfight. I may be of another culture, gender, color. I am no less human. Cut me, I too bleed red like you. One voice can start a domino effect. Point your vexation in the direction of governments, who has the power to reshape our children's tomorrow. In my eyes, there is one race, the human race. Youth's minds exploited with propaganda. It's a tainted ground on which we continue to stand. To all those injured and betrayed, shadows pool like those lives shattered and taken away. Loved ones left fragile and raging with fevered tongue. So let us band together and squash this inhuman act. I sink to my knees and bow my head in silent reflection. For where is our humanity? End poem.
Yes, I loved it, and it's brilliant, and it's exactly relevant to what we are going through now. Actually, it's timeless because humanity has been going through this throughout history, and I always don't understand, you know, history repeats itself. And as we said, no wars are ever won, only tragedy, disaster, and destruction, and victims. But it still goes on, and we keep losing our humanity. So I think, you know, I like Sapphire Rose very much. We are both born, we have the same date of birth, me and her. The 22nd of September, and you know she always you know tells me a happy birthday, and I tell her the same. She's a lovely, lovely person, but this poem is really one of her best, and it's so relevant. I'm so deeply touched, and there's so much to say about it. And you know, like, knowledge is power, ignorance is a sin. This is exactly what I believe, and you know, this is such an excellent poem because it's so relevant and it's so timeless and it's so real, and it speaks about everything that I believe in, like knowledge, culture, that we all bleed the same blood, humanity, generations, history. And this is a perfect poem in my opinion. And she read it beautifully. Cal?
Yeah, you know, Sapphire Rose really hit the tone here.
Yes.
You know, with this poem. And in my opinion, it really, you know, there is only one fire, and that's the fire in your heart. And it's all the
yeah.
same. You know,
yeah.
Within all of us. And if we can only recognize that we are part of this nature, this earth, I think we could recognize maybe that we wouldn't be, you know, killing each other or going into it. You need that freedom. You know, I don't, you know, and here we are again with the theme. And you made it very, very clear during our discussion in the beginning of the show. What's very, very important is not the government, not whether it's democracy or communism or Hinduism or Muslim or Catholicism or whatever it is, government, religion, whatever your belief is. You have to recognize that we are from the same seed, okay?
Yes.
And we need freedom to live life, express,
yes.
and not hurt. You know, this is so important. I mean, I hope they recognize this also in those in those lands that they have turmoil right now, especially, you know, Russia and also Ukraine. I hope I hope that the talks, and that is, and I'm you know, I have to take my hat off, even though I really disagree with almost everything from Mr. Putin, but I do think it is very, very, let's say, responsible of him, if there is anything responsible, to come out of that, responsible of him to at least talk now. He should have talked before, but I'm glad that he's
They did, Cal. There were talks through the years, there were talks. But it always comes to this, and this is what is driving me out of my mind. It shouldn't have happened. It should have been stopped. It shouldn't have happened. The reasons behind it could have been dealt with. You know, this is what I don't like, is why this is happening. It could have been avoided. See, whoever to blame. But at the end, this could have been avoided, Cal. But the damage is done. So many people are losing their lives, our homes, more refugees in the world. The world is full of, Europe is full of refugees from Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Somal, Afghanistan, and now Ukraine. So what? This is why people have to have the right to live safe in their own countries. So I'm mad because this is happening. It could have been avoided. That's what I believe. So what's very beautiful also about her poem is she's speaking, you know, and she says, in my eyes, there is one race, the human race. But this is the truth. But this is not the reality. The reality is that people are saying, this is the white race, this is the black race, this is the Indian race, this is, and you know what's so funny, Cal, because for me and people like me, we do not belong either to the white race or to the black race or to the Indian race. You know what they call us in forms and when you go to fill a form for a visa or for a foreign government application, you know, they tell you you have to pick white, black, Indian. You know, for me, what it is? Cal?
What is it?
No.
No, you don't know? Yeah. It's others. I'm from the others. Others. And I have a poem about it. In black and white, it's called. Say, I started with, it's not always black and white. Sometimes it's yellow, brown, or others. So people don't really pay attention to the meaning of others. But this is who I am. And people like me who don't belong to either the white race or to the black race or to the Indian race. So, you know, I felt so humiliated the first time I came through this and I had to fill this form. So I wondered, you know, I was very young then. And I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not red, I'm not yellow. So who I am? So, you know, I was told you are others. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Now I know.
Yeah. I used to do the same. I hate questions like that. And I always used to put in there alien, you know, like from outer space.
Honest to God, Cal, you know? I felt humiliated. I felt I don't belong to any race. I'm just others.
At least I get a smile from the people at the borders when I give them my card.
Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, these questions, I can't stand those questions because it's just the violence.
But imagine me, young girl in my teens, and just finding out that I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm not Indian. No. And who I am, guys, you're just others. Okay, who's others? I honestly felt humiliated. Honest to God.
Yep. I can get that.
You didn't know that, AP.
I might make a comment, Cal and Osama, about Sapphire Rose's poem. Because she talks about how can people in power, how can there be, you know,
yes,
differences in the way there are? And she talks about there being one human race, so why? Why are there so many differences? Why do people not understand each other? Yeah. And so if I can have 2 minutes, I might have a go at it in this particular circumstance, Osama, because in Russia we have leaders that come from the political establishment, and they have for years. They come through a long storied history of government. And working with government and working within the history of what's happened within government. In the United States and in Europe, what tends to happen, because of the amount of money you need to get elected, you actually tend to get people who are richer being politicians. In fact, for both sides of politics, only 4% of people actually do working class jobs before they become politicians. The other 96% do jobs that are related with being quite wealthy. Then we have a look at what's gone on in Ukraine, and we have something very different again. We have a person who 5 years ago was a comedian.
We have
a person that's been elected 2 years ago as a president, but his job before being president was he was an actor, and he was an actor playing the president of the Ukraine.
Exactly.
So we've got three very, very different axes going on. We've got people of privilege and wealth. We've got people of storied in the legend and lore of a particular party and system. And then we've got a actor who previously was a comedian only a couple of years ago.
You
wonder why sometimes people can't communicate. And oftentimes it's just because they're from different backgrounds, Osama.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, different backgrounds, but not different traits. We are all the human race, but this is exactly what you're talking about. It's exactly the reason why we are here now, because of the different backgrounds, people who have the history and traditions, and hardworking people. And I'm telling you, I don't believe in democracy anymore. Really, I used to be a liberal, and I'm not anymore. I used to be a Democrat, and I'm not anymore, because all these failed. My husband was a left wing, and he changed. All the ideologies failed us. So what I believe in now is the spirituality, my own spirituality, my own emotions, my own feelings, my own faith, the goodness in life, because otherwise you get really distorted. And really, democracy has failed. It's still, not bad in Europe, but under the control of superpowers, it's just have no personality. And the problem with the democracy in America is that it's bought by money. It's who have more money, who spends more. This is not democracy. This is a paid-for democracy. And people who are elected don't really represent the majority of the Americans. This is a big problem. And in Europe, democracy is applied, but especially, in interior affairs, but they do not have their own opinion. They don't on the world stage. They follow either America or Russia or China or the superpowers who are in control, because of the economy, because of the reality of things, because of the weapons. Because all I believe now in is the goodness of the human being himself and the spirituality tendencies, because what is it about spirituality that it's important? It's because actually to be spiritual is to listen to your heart. To be spiritual is to have a conscience. And so, yes, it's just to have a conscience, to be in touch with your conscience, which does not lie, really. Our conscience, you know, in the whole world, if anyone sees a crime, you feel this, you know this is a crime, whether you're a Muslim, Christian, Jew, or you're an atheist, or murder is a crime. So there are bases, there are human bases. So,
I go back to Colab poem.
Yeah.
We need to get back to our birth and our innocence, which we don't have a religion, where we don't have anything except our spirituality at that point, you know?
Yes.
And that's where that what Tance was saying today, and this has been the common theme of this program today, this episode. It's actually that light. We all hold the same light. We all hold that same energy. It's just, and I agree with you, AP, it's your background becomes really contaminated into a certain role, you know? It's not the role that we are put into. We have to have no role. We have to be put back to our rebirth. And this is a very, very indigenous saying as well.
I've got a poem that inspired Osama to write a poem. And this is a very individualistic poem actually. So I was gonna put that on the board, Osama, and then finish with your poem.
There is a big story behind that, Cal. I'll tell it to you after AP reads his poem.
So this is As Midnight Calls, and it goes a little bit. Evenings come and go with snow followed by thaws, as a cloak of lights being draped by stealth over distant horizon because. Starlight will continue to illuminate through, even though appears pale on first view. For when evening is over, night can begin enchantment, while in stupor. For celebrations of the day are in their prime in dark city quarters, truths reform as new visions replace the waters. Yet sparkle of stars remains true, despite your head whirring round you, and a cloak of light still to explore, and eyes vast centuries always more, as midnight calls. To chase the truth, the bottom of a glass spies, the neon lights your friends, the truth disguise. When bars close, just you and endless skies, you stare upwards, shooting stars surprise. And as years pass, the bar becomes higher and spirits divide, the new and young gather in brighter places to hide. For the wise and the keen will always explore the conflict between known and raw. Galaxies continue to shine, bathe through light, not scorn even more, as midnight calls. For a shot will erase the pain, numbly flies, still many hours until the raw truth of sunrise. In too many years for the grains to excise, you stare upwards, shooting stars surprise. End poem.
Wow. Amazing. Every time I read it, and it's great to hear you read it, really, I'm so impressed. Cal, this poem for me inspired me so much. And because, look, we are so caught into what's going on around us and what's happening in the world. But for a moment, if we look to the sky, there is another universe over there. It's a larger universe. It's a more beautiful universe than just being caught into our own, you know, daily lives or whatever is happening in the world. And this earth is like a tiny drop in the universe. So just to open up, you know, this concludes all what we've been saying, AP, just to open up, yourself and see the bigger picture and look to the sky and look to the stars and see that there is so much more. And it's like there is endless beauty, there is endless miracles, there is so much space, there is a higher level of existence. All this is like, it would bring us out of, this is what I believe in now, that there is so much more, that we shouldn't leave ourselves get caught into this, narrowness of mind or the tragic wars and all what's going on or daily needs or whatever it is. So yes, this poem really inspired me, Cal, very much, and I read it like 3 years ago. And I leave you to comment and then tell you something else later. Cal?
Okay. Because as I was thinking about this, it really rings true, with all of our visions and the way that we see each other in under the stars, our truth. And the truth is what we always are trying to seek, is the truth, getting away from the sky. But it's so human to wear that mask. And what we need to do is sometimes realize what that mask is, and then try to dig deeper into your life. We all have it. We all have the same life. No matter who you are, and I think once you drop that mask, that light will come true. That's so
yeah.
True. I believe that so wholeheartedly, and it can't help but be brought up into from different cultures, in different ways, and we have different traditions and different things. But if we all take all those contaminations and get back into the roots of who we are, it all become of the same seed, And this is, I think this is a great poem. One of the best poems that I've read of yours, AP. I think all of your poetry is excellent, but this one is the more, spiritual poem that I've ever heard from you. It's beautiful.
For me, it was so inspiring, and I wrote my poem inspired by this poem, Midnight Alone. But I just want to say that it really made me think. It made made me see, it was relevant to how I feel. That, look, guys, not like Sapphiro said, we are the human race. And AP is saying, and we live under the same skies, guys, that we have so much in common. So these two phrases are exactly what it's all about. We are the human race on this earth, and we live under the same skies in the same universe. So what is all this about? The wars, the fight, the hate, the discrimination, what is it all about? It's like unnecessarily. Anyway, Cal, so there is a very nice story behind this that I was so inspired, really. It's one of my favorite of AP, and I was so inspired, so I wrote my poem, Midnight Allure, and it was such a success. I got a gold for it and many other awards. It was a front page pick. And lately, just a week ago, I earned 500,000 poems from a Poetic Slice of Life group. And you remember they had this group contest, about You remember it, Cal? Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And the prompt was about the universe and how we meditate, how it makes us feel relaxed and meditate. And so I was invited, so I entered with this poem, and I won. And look, it's a fortune for me. For the past 6 years, all I earned is 200,000 points. And just in a second, I earned 500,000 points. It's a fortune for me. I wish they were dollars anyway. So this is my poem, inspired by AP's poem, As Midnight Calls. Is it on board, AP?
It is on board,
yes.
Summer, yes.
Yes.
Okay, you have it, Cal?
Yes.
Okay, so here, it's Midnight Allure, inspired by AP's poem, As Midnight Calls. In the midnight allure, the mind wanders, entertaining thoughts. The cosmos is the sum total of all. Look at the sky above. Watch the adornments of the stars orbiting around galaxies, embodiment of our wonderful existence. The universe is a well-ordered whole. Listen to its harmonious rhythms that echoes in the vastness of space. Surrender to its mystic aura. The heavens and earth were interwoven and unraveled. End of poem. So, you know, this takes us to another level of existence. Yes, Miguel.
It's a holistic approach to who we are, you know. And it's so true as a metaphor.
Hello? Cal, he dropped, obviously.
Mike, hello, Cal.
Okay, he might call back. Okay, you can tell me, you can tell me what you think, AP.
Well, I think the lovely thing, Osama, is that I sort of was sitting above the earth, sitting in a seat, drinking a drink, and you're sort of more looking at a whole heap of galaxies and looking at the whole of that piece. You're not so much drinking sitting on a
Cal board. Is back. Cal is back.
Cal.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Cal.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So you're looking at the holistic.
Yeah,
go for it.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the holistic approach of the poem, and the way that we need to look at this in a more universal aspect as we approach wars, you know, because of our cultural differences and what we want to hold on to our tradition, but we need to give up those traditions, a more universal approach to our humanity,
yes,
borderless.
Yes.
And I think hopefully in the future we will have a borderless world, you know.
Yes.
And this has already been predicted by my elders, you know, the elders of the indigenous churches, that we will be borderless at one point in time. Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully.
AP, what do you think?
Sir Cal?
Yes. What did you think?
Yeah, I was just going to say I think it's a poem that stands back and asks us to think about our piece of our very small piece of a much, much wider universe that we live in, and that I love poems about perspective, and this poem's about perspective, and what it's trying to do is create a shared perspective amongst people, and I think it does it really well, Osama.
Yeah, and this is the truth. Look, really, you know, that's what your poem made me. You were saying, like in your poem, you were saying, when the day ends and you just, the day was over for you and you were having a drink with your friend and suddenly it's you and the sky and the stars. And this, you know, this the whole poem was very thoughtful, that it brought to my mind that, you know, those thoughts that like go through our minds. But when you look up to the sky and you see the perfection, it's perfect. It's, yes. The cosmos is truly perfect, because if there is a slight, you know, imperfection in the earth when it turns around itself, we're not going to be there. It's going to be destroyed. So this universe is perfect. It's beautiful. And we are part of this universe. And there's so much there. There's so much beauty and so much perfection. And there is like beauty, perfection, even rhythms, even harmony, even, you know, it's so beautiful. It's unbelievably beautiful. And why are we making life so miserable, so ugly, polluting the environment, hating each other, you know. So for me, it was so inspiring. And this is what came out of your point, your poem, which I inspired, you know, as Midnight Calls. And really, I never thought that this poem would be, you know, such a big success. It's one of, you know, the most celebrated poems on all poetry that I wrote, one of the best, best celebrated, not best written, just best celebrated, because it was truly inspired by the truth you were talking about, the midnight, the stars. And then I started looking above the stars, the galaxies, the universe. Actually, tonight was a little bit intense because of what's going on the world. I didn't want to go there, but, you know, Cal, because he's in Europe and he's so close to the danger. We are all in danger, guys. I told you, for us, like, it's the loaf of bread that is going to be affected, the loaf of bread of the poor people. So everyone is going to pay a price, and I hope this doesn't go any further, and I hope people come to their senses. And like you said, AP, you know, the millionaires in the United States who don't know that a loaf of bread is a life, for thousands and millions of people. And those in Russia who are only thinking about their heritage and their rights and their fears, and those in Ukraine who are squeezed and have no identity, actually. They are always part of either the Austrian Empire, the Russian Empire, or now they want to belong to the West Empire, and they are just crushed in between all this, and this could end to be this struggle, power struggle, could end to affect the whole world and turn into a disaster with all the mass destruction weapons these superpowers have, and all the whatever they're going is through their mind. And so hopefully this will end well. And tonight's show was truly intense, and we had to bring it up. And I didn't want to, but we shouldn't shy of bringing up whatever issues we want. And and the poetry was great. And the last two poems, the last three poems by Sapphire, by you, and by me, I think they say, and also Collapse, they say it all. It's people, it's the human race that it's in danger, people, let's think of, see the wider picture, see our place in this universe is beautiful, it's perfect, and we should be, we try to be as beautiful and as perfect, and our humanity comes first before everything. And I'm also so, so happy, Cal, that you've been with us tonight. Really, this was great. Thank you, Cal. Thank you, AP. And, you can wrap it up.
To close off the evening, could you bring up my SoundCloud, Perfect Imperfection?
Yes.
And we'll close out the evening with that song. Yeah, it should be SoundCloud in there, Perfect Imperfection.
Yep.
And I just want to tell everybody out there, thank you for putting up with us, first of all, in our discussion. Second of all, those people in Ukraine, just know that our hearts are with you. And I just hope there's an end to this, you know, struggle that you are going through. That we also think about the universal humanity and that fire that we have within us that holds us together rather than going after, like what Uzama was saying, you know, the rich off the guns that we have in Russia or in the United States or all over the world, even Saudi Arabia and Egypt, all over. We should not look at the wealth. We should look at the heart. And this is where we need to go for.
Yeah, look at the universe. Look at the stars, the beauty of our existence, and make our lives a better, and the world a better place, and just promote love, not hate, peace, not war.
We're more alike than we are different, people.
Exactly.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Cal.
Thank you, AP.
Thank you,
Cal.
And thank you to Tisala for calling in. And thank you to all the poets who gave us their wonderful pieces. And we'll finish with Cal's piece, Perfect Imperfection, and we'll see everybody in 2 weeks. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye, Cal. Bye, AP.
Cards and floating holograms burning upon crimson horizon, ghostly figurines, dancing pirouettes, wearing masks randomly, throwing hearts, arrows at each other upon digital plates. Devouring morrow from boneyards, echoing caves, wreaking fear, skull bone yesterdays, bringing thorny roses into cribs, killing innocents in theaters of Cinderella weddings. Then there's that bluebird spooning worms, wanting to get out from my tough leathery skin. I keep it in, not going to let anybody see broken wings that are unable to fly out of human cages, fluttering exhausted. My supply of these jagged pills are running low. It's got the last years and years in a perfectly pristine world married to it, killing myself in small amounts to receive the ultimate union. I'm hung on surrealistic clotheslines of society, black sacraments of imperfection, television children, caught inside ancient screens looking for a home, limestone caves, raves, liquid moons lost among golden silhouettes. It's a ceremony like any other sport, full of rules, musical chimes, flinging rice at altars, ceremonious chemical kisses, becoming numb, borrowed specimens, dropping notes in a winded disease, finally letting mass drop, repairing crackling fatigue, hanging off china glass moons. We glided on ocean, once young fish frantically swimming against waves, neon lights of cheap hotels, runaway tropical towns, human abstract veils, watching my woman sleep.
Bye, everybody. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye. Bye. It was a great show. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, Cal. Bye, AP.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you all. Bye.
Bye to our listeners all over the world. Take care, guys. Stay safe.